All right, there it is. Thursday, July 2nd, 2020. We're 9 a.m. with the Josephine County Board of Commissioners meeting in their BCC conference room. And we are social distancing. And we all brought masks. We have Commissioner DeYoung and Commissioner Fowler here. Commissioner Morgan is not. number one is Department of Business, Juvenile Justice. Our director, Jim Goodwin, wants to talk about the contract with Turning Point for residential beds with Cook County. And it looks like this is something we'd like to take an action on today. You want to join us and tell us the story that goes along with it?
Good morning, commissioners. This is, I guess, the last, if you remember, months ago, we initiated a contract for our 30-day secure detention program where we can contract with other counties if we have the bed space. We did basically the boilerplate contract, then we came back with a contract for neighboring counties for individual detention beds, basically the same contract language, allows us to charge $125 a day for a detention bed. This is basically the same contract, but for our residential program. If we have unoccupied beds there. And the beauty of this one is this particular contract, an individual county can sign on, and this one is good till 2024, so it's not for an individual youth. Crook County is our first county that says, yes, we'd like to place a kid there. So once we sign off and Crook County signs off, they can then send us kids.
Is on the two programs, are they same price? Buck and a quarter a piece?
Yes.
You had just a detention.
However, this, the residential program, we get $125 a day from a county. We then turn around and bill Oregon Youth or Oregon Health Authority about $140 a day for the same kid. So that's a total of
So it's a profit deal.
Yes, it is a profit deal. So this is actually this more than pays the bills for that program.
Right, and the administration that goes along with it.
Right. My question for the board, and I guess I was hoping legal would be here. Since this is an IGA signed off, it requires the full board to sign off. Now, if Malheur County says they'd like to do this next month, and the month after that, Curry County or whomever, I just see it administratively as kind of burdensome to come back to the board
To give another
full
IGA
board signature for every individual county. I mean,
we'd have to ask that question.
If there could be a streamlined process, maybe the liaison could sign off.
I'd entertain that.
Because the language is exactly the same. We're just replacing Crook County with the next county that
unless there's something that says that the full board needs to sign off on an intergovernment agreement, I wouldn't have any problem with that. But
well, and we could, as part of the motion today, say any future contracts similar to this, you have the authority to sign.
Pending legal.
And if we're wrong, Wally will say you can't do that.
Yes, it will pending require individual county legals that we contract with and their boards to sign off on it. But the language would be exactly the same. It would be with a different county. So
right.
I don't see a problem. First off, you can't say that it's over $50,000. That's the signing authority of the liaison.
Right.
You don't know how much that's going to be.
Right.
But even open-ended, it's going to be tough to reach that for one county.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, seems reasonable.
I'm okay with allowing the liaison to sign it as pending Wally's, legal's definition.
Right. Well,
this one here,
legal has signed off on it, and they did say they need the full board because it is an IGA.
Mm-hmm.
My request would be that going forward, can we work this IGA with different counties so that the liaison can
I don't see it a big problem if we have to do that because I'm looking at the other end. If Crook County says, sorry, hey, your whole board needs to sign off on this. This is an IGA.
Right.
Then we want to be consistent with them.
Yes.
I don't know how many times a day you sign your name around here. So It's kind of, it's, well, if that's something that needs to be done, the girls get that to us right away.
Sure.
And you, they don't unhook our leash and undo our shock collar until we've signed all the paperwork.
Right.
We can't even go to lunch. Until.
Well, and Lily's kind of our policy wonk, so.
Yeah.
She's going to be here in a minute or two, I think. But, like I said, I'd entertain that motion.
I make a motion to go forward with this contract. And pending legal's review of it, I would also move that we allow the liaison to sign on behalf of any future graduates, and as long as that's legal.
All right, I'll second that. Any more discussion?
None for me.
Okay, how do you vote, sir?
Yes.
Yes, and I vote yes. And so this one we can sign today?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I believe Wendy has,
a copy. I bet it's right here.
And there, Crook County's BCC meets next week to sign, so after that, we're good.
I have a question with the COVID-19 through 27. do we test the folks that come down here? In other words, do they go through a screening before they come into our facility?
Yes, but it's not that there's no quarantine period.
Right.
Our nurse is doing temperature checks.
But I mean, you can do the temperature check and fill out the, not that they wouldn't stretch the truth and say, I don't know, I haven't been to any parties lately.
Right.
Not me, why? But yeah, I was just wondering if we had any kind of any screening
protocols.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And for instance, if an individual youth had been on the run out there twisting around who knows where, we changed our admissions criteria for the residential program just for that reason.
I didn't see it yet, but is there going to be a requisition request for a sheet dip tank over there that you run off? all your patrons through the tank.
No? Through a sanitary bath?
Yeah.
Can we afford that? Well, it's not here, but no.
Why not? Sorry.
Yep. That was done in humor for those listening. okay, then. We have that approved.
Great.
And Wendy may have to do something to record that, but it is signed now.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a happy 4th.
You too.
Stay safe, man. 1B is airports. Our director, Larry Graves. Once limited power of attorney for land use and development permits for county property at the Grants Pass Airport.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yeah, so the legal department is being good about making sure all of our T's are crossed and our I's are dotted whenever we do developments. Yep. So while this hasn't always happened in the past, it's going to be happening every time we do development on airport property going forward. So. We just did a limited power of attorney a week or so ago for the development out at the Illinois Valley Airport. I don't know if you have received copies of this in your package, but this is for a development on for a leasehold on the airport at Grants Pass. And it's a little unusual, but it's a really good idea, I think. We have an existing parcel that's down next to the National Guard Armory. Quite deep. It's over 300 feet deep, and only half of it is usable at the moment because there's a hangar up toward the taxiway, and all the space behind that is vacant. So Sean McGillivray, who is a pilot, has a couple of hangars at the airport, contacted Andreas Black, who is the leaseholder for this parcel, and said, hey, what do you think about subleasing a part of your land to me, and I can build a big hangar and a taxiway out to the pavement and go from there. And they thought that was a good idea.
He puts the bill for that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So
completely.
Tenant improvement type thing?
Absolutely. What I would prefer to see happen, and I think they'll both agree with me, is that we divide that current leasehold that Andreas has and just reduce it and write a new lease for him for a smaller piece of land, and then write a brand new lease to Sean for the back half of that lot so that it's clean. We have two separately identifiable hangar spaces.
We don't have a sublease situation.
Yeah.
We don't have a landlocked parcel.
To put it simply, a nightmare.
Okay, so if we give Andreas, Is there going to be an easement across the access for the...
Actually, Sean will be crossing the access in front of Andreas' existing hangar, which is the big white square hangar that you see right there.
White.
He actually owns both of those hangars, the little green T-shaped hangar and then the big white one across the way. So they are both in agreement on this. I've asked both of them to show up at my office for a meeting so we can all make sure we're on the same page, and then we'll move forward with two new leases, basically.
Right. I like that because that doesn't, if anything ever went sideways with either one of them, that parcel doesn't get affected by the other.
Exactly. And there will be a permanent easement from the back hangar up through the front.
And if it changed hands, it would be cleaner in the future.
Yeah, they can remove the toll gate and, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say, I can see a drawbridge. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
What's the bridge for?
Yeah, yeah. So my ask is that the commissioners would give me the limited power of attorney, allowing me to sign a development permit for development.
Good morning, Commissioner.
Morning.
Morning.
I'm sorry. I'm upset that there wasn't a Zoom.
Oh.
I was ready to go. I've been on phone calls all morning.
Sorry about that.
Oh, okay.
I did not know.
I didn't know this was in person or I would have been here. I've been killing time all morning.
It's good to see you.
Doing okay.
Yeah, we're
I'm sorry.
We're good.
Okay, so I would entertain a motion to authorize Larry Graves, Airport Director, to act as an agent regarding the land use and development actions related to the aircraft hangar building at the Grants Pass Airport.
I make that motion.
And I would second that.
I'm abstaining because I didn't hear your...
Any further discussion, sir?
Not for me. Thanks. I think it's a good idea. I think it does clean it up. Anything in the future, I don't like... particularly care for subleases because they can get rather dicey, you know, at times. So this will clear that all up in the future. So.
Good.
Are you working on that other issue we all got emailed on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've had a couple of written and verbal face-to-face conversations, and we're all good.
They probably don't want us getting involved.
They probably don't what?
Want us getting involved.
No, not at all. And I'm sure of it.
He's working on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. You bet.
All right. So how do you vote, Commissioner DeYoung?
Yes.
And I vote yes, so that motion, are you?
I'll support you, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Morgan. So it is 3-0.
Good.
And that passes.
Good. And so, I'll stick around for a little while in case any of you have questions about other issues that are pending at the moment that are all very much fun and exciting.
Do...
It is Independence Day.
You'll let us know if you need help on the other.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. On any matter, yeah.
All right. Well, let's thank Larry for coming in, and we'll invite Scott Chansey, our transit program supervisor, to tell us about an AIA agreement and associated addendum with ORW Architecture for the design, planning, and project oversight for the proposed transit hub.
Good morning. So this is a AIA, which is the American Institute of Architectural agreement that ORW wanted, as well as an addendum that County Legal put together to bring them on. They've already been working, but to get them under contract for the planning, management, and design of the transit hub project. And so it's based on their fee, which is $140,240, is based on the overall project cost. It's a percentage of that. So if the project increases in estimated cost, then obviously their fee will go up, or it technically could go down if the cost went down, but that's not typically how it works. So that's pretty much it. So they've been designing this. We've already had a preliminary application meeting with the City of Grants Pass, and so this thing's starting to pick up some speed, so we need to get them under contract so we can get them paid.
Good.
There's no local match. The funds are provided from an FTA agreement. That we have the local match for these funds is based on the value of the land that the county owns for this proposed site. The actual value of that land, even though we had to pay for an appraisal and a review appraisal, the actual value of the land gets to be determined by the Federal Transit Administration, and they have not gotten back to us. But with that said, the actual appraisal shows that it's worth more than we originally estimated. So the original estimate was more than enough to cover the local match requirement. So
that's good.
The base that we're coming in with land and not cash, the FTA has to do their own appraisal, apparently.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, you attach value. You have to attach value to what you're buying.
Right.
Basically, we're putting that land up as in lieu of a down payment or whatever.
A match, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm okay with that. I have a question.
Okay.
They were over there core drilling the other day. Do you know
yep.
what are they just are they looking for contamination from,
nope.
say, an old gas station or anything of that sort?
Nope. I'm learning a lot here. So apparently when you use federal money and you're going to build a building, there has to be a geotech report. So they went in and assessed the stability of the soil exactly mm-hmm. to and then determines what needs to be put in place for the foundation, so they can't just eyeball it and go, hey, this is what we think. We had to pay approximately about another $8,000 to get a geotech report to go or geotech firm to go out there and actually do the work.
Well, we that would probably add value to the land because it would take that portion of it out of there.
Correct.
You know, when you say, "Wow, we don't know what's underneath that land," and we have a geotech report that says it's solid as a rock,
yep.
and so therefore there's no sinkhole underneath it or anything of the sort, so it's not compromised going in. So $8,000, that sounds reasonable, and we don't have to pay that anyway because that'll all be in.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Okay.
So far, no surprises. Value came in higher than we thought. The only thing in a preliminary discussion with the City of Grants Pass, I agreed to pave to the center line of the road. They can't require us to do that as a condition of the development. But being that we are going to be using the majority of that road, ingress, egress, and the pavement isn't in the top notch, I said, yeah, sure, we'll go ahead and do that. So
it'll be better for the buses anyhow.
All the turning and weight right there. Yeah.
Make sure that what you're starting with is a good product and you don't have to shut down the hub
and
later.
Buses are considerably heavier than
correct.
Automobile traffic, and that road is basically designed probably for automobile traffic. It may only have a 4-inch mat or something like that. You cave that in or break that up in the flat. So
right.
I think it's okay to pay for half the road and get that all ironed out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. D Street and E Street, it's just along Fifth. So D Street has is concrete, and E Street is in good condition. So that's what we're looking at.
How did that happen? How did D Street?
I don't know. They dug something up.
Hey, that's my initial, so avoid that.
Right.
So ORW is handling all of this. They handle all of the applications for the City of Grants Pass. They handle all of the land use requirements and the development requirements, and they put those packages together. So like I said, we've already been through one. We'll go through probably one or two more. It'll actually have to go in front of the Planning Commission. I expect it to also go in front of the City Council.
Will they need a... Sorry, go ahead.
I think you need to prepare for a parking, for you to do a parking study. And I think we mentioned one time, the possibility of like behind Powderhorn and use the $3.5. I think
that's for sale. That's a concern to me.
The Powderhorn will cause it.
That lot has got a for sale sign on it right now.
It does.
And that I don't know why. Where the ATM portion is, there's a big sign right next to it saying.
Yeah. River Valley owns that, so I wonder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
your concern is that don't go in there and make it nice and then they sell it.
We've been talking in terms of that's available parking downtown, and
right.
if it's for sale and can be developed, that's going to change a lot.
The original design actually shows a net increase in parking. So by us, if we turned over the entire lot to public parking, there's a net increase from what there is down there now. So we already addressed this somewhat with the preliminary staff plan.
Well,
and that's what they noted, and they discussed it quite considerably, so that's on their mind as well. So the fact that we came in and we're not ended up not pulling any parking out and actually are providing more.
That's great.
That works in your favor.
That works
well. I apologize for kind of getting off track, and I'll get with Brad, is because he's our Rogue Valley MPO.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the middle road
MPO,
and that's where that CMAQ dollars would have come through. So a good call on that, Commissioner Morgan. We'll have to look into that before we go and decide we're going to put a bunch of money into it, and then they sell it, and it becomes something else.
Right.
Let's find out who owns that. The city might be interested in doing something like that. Who knows?
I have, and I don't want to go off into the weeds, but we've had this discussion before, and so there's an MPO Technical Advisory Committee meeting today,
okay.
And we are going to be talking about the allocation, the local allocations of CMAQ dollars, and I brought this up to the city multiple times, but I'm going to do it again today.
Okay.
And I'm going to say, because the issue with the MPO is there's not enough projects to spend the local allocation of CMAQ dollars.
And they'll take it away and they'll give it to sales.
That's correct. So we're in a position of, like, don't take our CMAQ away, but we're not using it, so...
Yeah.
Something you mentioned triggered another memory, and that would be that they're going to go to the city on behalf of you for all this stuff. If they do, they'll need a power of attorney for each of those steps, I believe, just as a heads up. So you'll want to make sure to be talking to legal.
I will.
Because even airports had to get one for Larry to do something.
Okay.
So on behalf of the county. So I would just check with legal, because they can't go do stuff on our behalf on property that's not theirs, unless they have a power of attorney.
Yeah, all the things like the appraisal and the geotech report, all those actually came through me, but that, you have a good, valid point. I will definitely talk with legal again to make sure. ORW is pretty experienced in these kind of types of projects, especially working with other local government jurisdictions, so...
They might come to you with that request.
Yeah, I have a feeling, now that you've mentioned it, I'm sure they're going to come to me, and I'm going to go, what?
Yeah. And you'll be ready.
Right, now I'll be ready.
I love it. Any further discussion? Any reason not to move this to the weekly business session next week?
Come for me.
It will be an evening meeting, just to remind you. Do we think Scott should be there?
Yeah.
Or
if you don't need to, just write me up something, and as your liaison, I can present.
I would ask that you be there, because this is one that we've had public comment on, and so just in case.
Good point.
Questions might come up.
Been under the spotlight a lot, so, you know, especially with everything
else. I agree.
I think your explanation of the parking situation probably would come up at some point in time.
Just for the sake of.
I agree. I think that there's a few members of the community that are waiting for an opportunity to talk about
talk
in a public forum.
That's pretty accurate.
So if this is an opportunity for that to happen, I definitely need to be there.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
All right.
Not that I don't think you could deliver.
No, I don't want to. I know who they are.
Yeah. Me too.
Yep.
I've been waiting.
Yeah.
Patiently waiting to answer those questions.
No, I mean,
carrying your target around.
Right.
Right?
So I'm going to take
that. All right, sounds good. We'll move it forward.
Thank you,
Scott. Have a good fourth.
You too.
Can I just ask on the first item that I missed? So we're renting to Crook County, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. I would have supported that.
Okay, and I can appreciate that. We also, at the director's request, authorized him to have the liaison sign future agreements that were like this as long as legal says it's okay.
Okay.
Because he may have other counties he thinks coming in going, we want in.
Do we need to get an order giving that permission?
Because it's an IGA.
Yeah. So if we had an order on file that authorizes him to sign with liaison, that would cover. That's what we've done with public health. There's actually an order on file that got
approved. And we just wanted to make sure that didn't, we didn't come back from Crook County and say, no, we're not signing on anything with one signature. We want all full board, opposite full board.
Yeah.
So they may come back. That's why we said pending legal. We'll send over legal, but no, neither one of us were. Yeah. I'm sure you would be.
We were missing our policy wonk
authority.
Sorry.
Lily's here. She can answer that. No problem. Okay. Well, then, that moves us into item 2, our finance report and business update with our new finance director, Sandy Nowak.
This is the inaugural finance director.
Is yesterday your first day as director officially?
Yes, it is. Okay. Yes, it was.
So now that you're an old pro with a whole 24 hours under your belt.
And Arthur's first day, there was a bomb scare. And my first day, there was a bomb scare.
Are you kidding?
Mm-hmm. No.
Golly.
Impressive.
Quite a transition.
Can we tell any of your, is it a predecessor? Or whoever comes after you? No, a predecessor is before.
Right.
Who's after?
Successors.
That this is a trend that needs to stop.
No more bomb scares.
No more bomb scares.
On first day of
school. So here, I just thought it was building maintenance, because that's what we've always called building maintenance.
That's true.
Yeah, well, we'll go get bombs. Go.
Yeah,
can't
stay
bomb anymore.
Facilities.
It is now facilities. Much better. Anyway, so we do have a new team in finance. Five of the seven of us are in new roles. This is Paul Young. He is the new assistant finance director.
Morning.
Are you still in the closet, or the hallway, or the cubby?
No, I'm out.
Okay.
He is in Arthur's old office.
So you moved into phase two.
Yes. Ruth Nelson will be in the cubby starting on Monday.
Nice.
So, and what we're doing with that is we have these three accountants that gives us a little more agility to move, especially during the budget process. And it gives us a little more bandwidth for while we're doing the Central Square implementation. It also gives us cross-training and a more interactive budgeting process. So you will be seeing some of that when we begin in January. We're going to institute some best practices, a little more education in the public, a little more conversations, and some meaningful budget goal setting that we'll start doing come January. And we'll be talking about that.
Sounds good.
I would support that wholeheartedly. I don't think I'll be here, but I always appreciate hearing it.
We'll send you the memo.
That's right. Right.
We'll keep your email in the loop.
There you go.
Just FYI.
No, we've been talking about that for quite a while. So,
so I'm doing some studying. I'm looking at best practices and how we can do that within our culture and with the way that we do things. And see if we can come up with a good plan. I've got a meeting with Jason Roberts next week, and we're going to work on some things. And then PILT, I sent you all an email about PILT. It did come in about 600 less than last year, 570 less than what we budgeted. We do have room in the general fund right now for that wiggle room.
You were in the hundreds of thousands, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It sounded like you were in hundreds.
Hundred thousand.
Okay. Want to make this for the record?
Yeah, we're $500,000 low. We do have money in fund balance right now. And in the budget process, we'll be talking about that quite a bit. Yesterday, Paul and I had the kickoff with Central Square to begin that process of moving over. We don't have a timeline available today because we've asked them to redo it. So we'll be coming in with one of those shortly. We do need a liaison from the commissioner's office who can sit in on quarterly steering committee meetings and make some of the decisions where it changes our business processes. These are pretty positive changes that are going to happen in business processes because we're going to be tightening up some internal controls and making things a bit more efficient as we move forward. And so we'll be looking for, hopefully, a commissioner to sit on that steering committee.
When do you start that?
Well, that officially started yesterday, but the quarterly meetings.
When do your meetings start?
When do you anticipate the meeting starting?
What I'm asking is, how soon do we need to pick a liaison? Because we're going
into
shift change.
Yes,
I'd almost recommend Darren for the sake of
I'll be sure to make the corner.
Sure, he's going to be here. Yeah.
So you have a consistent one no matter what the outcome of the election is.
And of course, you know, Herman's going to be here, so he's not here today, so we could volunteer him for the job.
That's
no, but if they're starting...
He would be here for the beginning.
If they're starting next month,
then Mr. Fowler's willing to...
That's so by default, it came through the funnel, and I get it.
All so right. I nominate Commissioner Fowler to be liaison to the central computer, central square, steering committee.
Wonderful news. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Good.
Do we need an official vote?
You want to take the vote, and you can't vote, no.
Yeah, sure. We might as well. So I had a motion and a second.
Yeah.
Any further discussion? Any hesitancy from the nominee?
Thank you.
How do you vote, sir?
Yes.
And you?
Yes.
And I vote yes as well. So.
It's wonderful
news. All of a sudden, I'm getting smarter in finance. This is great.
This is
good skills to have.
The next thing I had is the CARES. As you all know, the email came out that the governor's office accepted the recommendation of the AOC on the allocations.
On the first round?
Second round.
For the first and second round, kind of together. On June 24th, they issued clarifying guidance, which was in line with how we interpreted things. And so next week, during legal, we will discuss the grant agreement going forward. But we did definitely get clarification of the interpretation.
I talked to Wally this morning too, asking him to have more information, just some follow-up that, let me start over. Last week on our call with Leo Horner and Alex Campbell on that district meeting, we brought up this IGA, and they said, oh, we haven't heard from any county but Douglas County.
You're serious.
I'm very serious. And
did you answer your phone?
Yeah, but Douglas County was successful in negotiating a different IGA. So I was curious about that, and then after that, the Legal Counsel Association submitted a letter on behalf of all the counties, and they have not heard a response yet. So this morning, I touched base with Wally just to reiterate.
Is that on the laying of the extra layers?
That's that 20-page IGA mm-hmm. that everybody's questioning and all that. Yeah, so they submitted a thing. So Wally is going to just follow up and see what he can do before we get our update next week. So I checked in with him this morning based on those other phone calls.
You heard Jackson County did a little dance at the end and move their amount up.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
I think
what they did was not really move. They are counting their chickens. They took that letter and they did the calculation and then they announced it.
Okay.
And we've done the same thing. We know what the total would be.
And rumor is that they got their money without signing the IGA. And airports got their portion of CARES Act funding for airports without having to sign an IGA. Granted, it came from the feds.
Yeah.
But did it go through the state or did it come straight from the feds?
Directly from the feds.
Oh, that's why.
That's kind of one of your streams, though. Yeah.
It actually didn't even go through the normal federal channels
yeah.
in Seattle.
So I think that's the leg that we maybe bring up, that, hello, Congress's intent was this money get to us. But anyhow, so that was one of the phone calls I was on this morning, was
right.
getting some updates on that. So hopefully we'll see, and at least by that conversation next week, decide what we're doing with IGA.
Did they complete their session?
Yes.
Just to be off subject, did we get an announcement from ALC on the summary?
I don't remember. Everything passed.
I don't want to drag us too far off, but
Let's bring it up in matters from commissioners, and I can give you a
sounds good
a different summary.
Okay.
Back to you, Sam.
Anything else on CARES? Any questions?
I always get real skeptical of when the money starts to get easier to obtain than it should be. I wonder if at some point in time the money's not going to be worth anything, so they'll give it to you right now, throw you a bone so that you don't eat the whole cow and you go away satisfied. You just took a drink of water when you were seasick. It felt good for just a few minutes, and everything comes up. But I get real cautious when that starts to happen, that, you know, oh, you don't need to follow it. You know, hey, we don't want any documentation. We're just going to pay you. I just, that scares me half to death.
Well, they want documentation.
It's reimbursed.
I know, but it's not, you're not having to go through the normal long drawn out process. It just all of a sudden happens. Or did you go to school? Oh, it came right from the federal government. You're out of the clear blue sky, they're starting to drop money in your account where you used to have to really, you really have to ask for it and justify what your ask is. Just, you know, like transit all of a sudden gets a check for $2.3 million. And you go, you know how hard 6 months ago if you wanted $2.3 million? Look at how long Larry Graves has been working on the asks that he's had.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, this money just starts to fall out of the sky. And I'm cautiously apprehensive.
Yeah, and we don't want to spend that money the day after we get it. We want to
Or maybe we do want to spend that money the day after we get it. At least we have something tangible in hand for it. You know, it's just like people go, well, I'm taking my money out of the stock market because I don't know where it's going to go. And I'm going to go buy that Corvette I've always wanted. So when I wake up in the middle of the night in cold sweats wondering where my investment is, I can always walk out to the garage and sit in it if I have to. It didn't just float away on the morning news report.
Yep, we can look at a beautiful new roof on the jail.
There you go.
How does that sound?
That's a good start.
Are we going to put sand up there and some beach chairs and stuff?
I know nothing about roofs or how. No, I don't know. So the last thing that Arthur did, his final act as finance director, was to sign a commitment for a $300,000 matching for Business Oregon to take care of that A Street building in the Demet campus. Mm-hmm. Speaking of roof issues.
Demolition of the A Street building.
And environmental remediation.
Okay. We had authorized that a while ago.
Mm-hmm. So we're moving forward on that project, and I'm working with Business Oregon to move that forward. I don't think we're going to be able to sell that property without that.
Right. We're going to be better at abating it than any private company.
That's a huge hurdle for any developer to have that on there because there's just too many ands, ifs, and buts.
It's going to cost about $1 million.
We shouldn't talk about that.
No, it's not that. I'm just wondering if we're right. And the reason why I'm asking that is Asante did that with the Washington campus, Southern Oregon Medical Center. Mm-hmm. And, it can't be developed, so let's take it off of there. And now we got a big grass field.
They've been keeping that up. They've been mowing that. Right. I live in that neighborhood.
But
they do take good care
of it. Not quite a park.
But is it supposed to be a park? Is it supposed to be developed? Is it, or maybe they're hanging on to it for a purpose? I'm just curious if it actually did for them.
They're hiding money in property because they're a not-for-profit business.
Okay, well, but the whole point was less demolition, mm-hmm. so that it can be developed, and I'm just curious if it would be worth asking someone there, did this do for you what you hoped in that, because we're looking at doing the same thing up here,
right.
And will it be a surprise, or will it be something then, oh gosh, we just took value away from a property, or something, I would just...
That is not a value. People who look at that property walk over there and they're like, oh, I like it. And then they see that building.
That
like,
liability.
I'm out.
I hear you. I don't disagree. We're very quick to take down old buildings. And if I could have found a way to save it, I would have. Because the hospital I was born in is gone already. And this one's older. So it's kind of curious to me.
I
was born now.
So then you'll know what it feels like, what I've gone through
and
with the trauma of losing my Josephine County Memorial.
I was a resident at the other hospital for a while after I wrecked that car.
No, it's okay. I'm not asking to stop
That's
the project.
Two car stories. You only get one more.
I think Lily makes a good point. I think Southern Oregon, where Southern Oregon Medical Center used to be, that could have been repurposed into something. That whole building was not that bad. And it had a cafeteria, it had all the commercial kitchen and everything in it. It could have turned into something, but with minimal upgrading. This
right.
one here, that building up there, has just got, first, never, it's no, in no way seismic. And all the asbestos and years of
lead paint.
And all the other stuff that's
petroleum
in there. Yeah, but I think it probably would have gone over. Mm-hmm. And that bromide plant up there is a real concern.
So this brings up my final topic. One of the big goals I have is capital projects. If previous boards had voted to and allocated $400,000 to put a roof on that Dimmock Tower, we wouldn't have had to spend $1.3 million destroying it. So having a capital plan for maintenance, using the buildings that we have at their highest and best use, having adequate funding for maintaining buildings, and clear plans for all of the properties that the county owns is going to be one of my main goals.
Well, and we have to, yes, agree.
Yes. That sounds really good.
Quite frankly, this whole town is in trouble because of the compounded lack of maintenance.
Deferred maintenance. Every
deferred
place
maintenance,
has deferred
yep.
maintenance. All the
national parks.
The
it's yeah. not just us. Nationally, yeah. our highways, our parks, all of those infrastructures. Not the airports, though, because Larry has stayed on it, and so we're okay there.
We are the poster child.
We're better there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like, I know that hangar has
he started behind.
No.
He's
got on it.
To get ahead.
I mean,
yes.
Since he's been here, he's got us on a path of yep. which is where we should have been all along. Everything else hasn't been, including
right.
this building.
Yeah.
And
right.
and so it's one of those things that I know people don't want to spend money for those maintenance, but you spend more money in the long haul if you don't.
And I think that
and that's public
the
works
Dimmock
philosophy.
Tower is yeah 400,000 versus 1.2 million to destroy it.
And when the folks out here complained to the letters to the editor, you didn't do this, you're spending money on that, just say, this is your stuff. This doesn't belong to us. It doesn't belong
exactly.
to the Board of County Commissioners or any employee that works here. This is your stuff. Do you want us to continue to ignore your stuff?
Exactly.
Or do you want us to put tires on the car? What do you want us to do? And I think
all right, that's
go
the
for
third one.
Maintenance.
That's
well,
it.
It is.
Cut off.
But we're
well,
almost over.
Oh, that's your third car now.
I got it.
So, no, and I have, as a District 7 voter, I have a problem with them in the past saying that building over there is useless, we need to get rid of it, and it's still sitting there full of adults working every day 40 years later.
Yeah.
Over on G Street, Washington, or that's
Roosevelt.
G Street.
This one, all those. And they say, oh, there was asbestos in it. They have programs, government programs to help you abate that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so I think they lost some voters like me because they didn't take care of their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so we don't want to be doing that anymore.
Correct.
As an organization. So I appreciate that very much. Yes, sir.
I had to go to Highland School because Roosevelt was no longer fit for
kids. Right.
And that was when I went from third grade to fourth grade. Fourth grade was at Highland School.
That was a couple of years
was
ago.
Was that in 1900 still?
Huh? Well, we used to catch the stagecoach to Highland every day. On the bus line, just stagecoach. But
well, my elementary school is gone. My high school is gone.
Right.
So they've replaced those buildings.
But my grade school's still there, and Highland's still there. South Middle School's still there. And, they, of course, they replaced the high school. But all of those schools... You know, Highland and South, but you're right. With Washington School is now a county building. It's, you know, community corrections. Mm-hmm. Riverside School went right from Riverside School. It was not inhabitable by children into Coalition for Kids back then.
Oh,
and
yeah.
that became
yeah.
Options or Head Start
yeah.
or something.
It's
Roosevelt
Options.
School.
It's Oregon, yeah.
I mean, it just it never ceased to amaze me how we just have to tear this stuff down. Fort Benoit School. The old one on the curve is still there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I didn't want to pull us too far off, but
okay.
Yes, our community.
That is it.
So you'll let us
learn.
Know what the next steps are.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Sandy.
I do have a question, though. I had a discussion with Sandy about maybe changing a procedure of having items listed under the finance update. That
yeah.
What subjects will be?
Correct. I don't know why they're not or how that process came, but
yeah.
as far as gauging
are
time frame of a
room,
mm-hmm. it means there has to be a little bit more advanced notice of what those topics will be And there always can be an update of something that came up quicker that we can add into there, like we do for matters of commissioner.
Ironically, Wendy and I had this conversation this morning.
Oh. But as far as gauging how long a meeting will go, we have no idea that this could be 10 topics, or it can be one topic, or it could be nothing. So I think it would be...
give us a clue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we have the department head estimate that? In other words, when it says finance report, it'll be approximately 40 minutes.
I don't need the time estimate. Okay. Just like we do for the other ones. Here's the list of what they're bringing to us. If this one has a list of what they're bringing to us, I think it will be beneficial for public transparency and for us gauging time and stuff.
Well, like they'd give us a chance to ask a question yesterday if we had one on something that was more detailed. So, yep, I'm in.
Yep.
Okay, so am I.
Excellent. Look forward to it. Good to see you.
Thanks.
It still didn't come with a crown or anything, though, huh?
No.
Directorship?
No. It comes at the end.
Right.
Surprise Arthur didn't just drive over here out of pure habit.
He probably did and then had to turn away and go, oh, yeah, I'm just getting coffee. All right, that puts us back on our agenda, which is item 3, other business. Is there anything we should address today? Is not on the agenda?
No.
I have asked to do an after action on the incident yesterday, on how that went down in notification and procedures and all that kind of stuff. I believe that after any incident, you should do a debriefing to see what can we learn from and what went good and what didn't. And I have a whole lot of thoughts and questions on it. I'm wondering if you guys would mind if I initiate that.
Not at all. Me and Annette had a similar conversation, and me and Wally had a similar conversation, our county council.
Okay.
About this, that we need to have the who to contact first. If they don't answer, who to contact second, who to contact third, and what they do with it. Whether it's email, text, phone call, or all three.
Yeah.
Until you get a hold of somebody, because we don't need those blind spots where somebody comes up on the, hey, did you hear what happened at the courthouse? I'm like, no, I didn't. That's not a good commissioner information. So we do need to fix that.
And I'm not looking at...
I want to find out, like, where the buttons are, too. How do we panic? How do we start an emergency if it starts in our office? How do we start one?
Came down through Annette, and that facility said pull firearm.
We have Everbridge. We have other notifications. Procedures in place.
Send it out.
We just need to solidify them in a policy document.
We have regular courthouse security meetings of which anything discussed in procedures was not followed.
Well, then let's address it and we'll be better at it every time.
You know, but maybe it came through that discussion in courthouse security meetings, and that's as far as it got.
It could be.
I don't think it went any farther than that.
But I'm not looking.
Everybody's in agreement.
I'm not looking at attacking or criticizing. Hey, could we maybe consider what steps could go better for the sake of?
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There should be a policy.
But it was clumsy at best. However, we did.
We got it done.
We got it all done, and then I'm out here talking to the security, and she says, "I don't think anybody told anybody on the bottom floor." Well, Eve went to lunch. She was going loud, but everybody else is still.
No, Annette went through the basement and went through, but then there's a question of, was that real?
Yeah.
And so, anyhow, just as far as follow-up, if I have your blessing, I would like to
see a policy document for the board to look at.
Okay. It was clumsy at best. We got the job done, but that we certainly didn't.
We'll get better.
I know we can go on to matters from... I don't know that there's other versus matters from commissioners.
Right, kind of just a matters. So let's go on to board business. Open discussion, Commissioner Morgan?
So I am pulling up the June 23rd email, board's meeting schedule change. And it says, I wanted to revisit the board meeting schedule, although we are not going back to all in-person meetings yet. I'd like to move to our previous meeting schedule beginning July 7th. See the schedule below. There's not another email that has defined what our meetings were. So I want to clarify why my expectation was there was going to be a Zoom meeting still today.
No, that's a pretty safe assumption.
And according to the schedule, admin was still supposed to be at 10 yesterday. Granted, it got moved because of the kids' choir. But legal was supposed to be at 10 today and not moved to 1:30 on Tuesdays until Tuesday the 7th. And an admin starting at 9 a.m. on Thursdays wasn't going to start per the calendar until the 9th. So I was frustrated that I have been very intentional about attending meetings and on timeliness, and to not have that opportunity was frustrating. Right. I don't mind that we had the meeting today. It's great to get the stuff through. But my expectation is we're still making Zoom available. Who knows, not indefinitely.
Right,
if it allows more people to take part, and we didn't even talk about what's the schedule going to be in person when the governor changed to this yesterday, and with the mask requirement. So I'm disappointed with how the communication or lack thereof was, and
And let's fix it for next week.
Especially because I'm supposed to be attending by all Zooms next week because of another issue I'm having. So if we're not going to be available to do that, I'm going to...
No, we should be.
Okay. So
hey,
Wendy,
we'll work it out.
I just wanted you guys to know what I was basing my information on. And sure. I'm trying to be very intentional. And
you're doing better.
Thank you,
much.
Sir.
Yep, that's good to know. And I think that, that is forgivable for today because of that. Totally makes sense. And so with our office manager taking a couple days off, that might have been part of that. So
I called in, I was told, oh, no, it's in person. Do you want it phone in? Well, on these meetings, phoning in, you don't get the details of what might be passed out or something else like that.
Right. Well, in-person meetings to me are way more, because we have things that pop up. And on Zoom, you got to wait and raise your hand, and it's clumsy.
Better than phone, though.
But it's better than phone. Yeah. By a long shot. I grant you that. Sure. I mean, I sit in the comforts of my own office, and, you know. So, in-person meetings to me are far more important. And the sooner we get back to normal, and I know there's a lot of people don't want to go back to the past because they want to move ahead to the lightning speed into the future. But
I think for the foreseeable, we need to have a hybrid where folks that don't feel comfortable coming to a public meeting have access to these meetings. So.
But there was also no notification that this was going to be this way today.
Right.
And so I just, that opportunity to...
Point taken.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Yep. Anything else to share? Matters?
I'm still working on it. I'm going to go. Rob Brandis is looking into the We Back the Blue, Josephine County, We Back the Blue.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to thinking about it, and I think I'm willing to put forth some effort to get some 4x8 signs from our sign maker, not the county sign maker, but the sign maker out in Cave Junction. I'd like to, and I'll go to private property owners that are, so it's not on a highway sign or whatever, and see if we could put big 4x8 that said, "Welcome to Josephine County, We Back the Blue," on private property. Get the same message across.
On crooked. I have to redo it.
Get the same message across, because I think that's important coming into Josephine County. They can do for good for our law enforcement to know that we are definitely behind them. And it also will send a message to people traveling down I-5 and coming in from the coast and coming in on 238 and whatnot that we're serious in Josephine County, that we're not, you know, you can't come in here with your unfunded law enforcement and we're going to buy that. That we do back the blue, and I think it would do an awful lot for our law enforcement community to show that. So I'm willing to take that on private property, and not so we don't have to worry about state highways and we don't have to worry about anything in
community. That'll be easier deal,
like a campaign sign. And I'll head that up with I'll do it anyway as a civilian. But I think it's just something that I think we really, I'll get the money from somebody to get the sign made. It's not that big a deal. So it's not any budget thing or anything.
No. Municipal hoops or ODOT hoops?
No, not at all. I think we'll get buy-in from private property owners. So you bet you put that sign out anytime. Cool.
And that's why none of the Sixth Street restaurants have parking bulb outs for the restaurants because of ODOT, because it takes longer to ask, can we do this?
Have you heard the city solution?
Mm-mm.
So the issue with ODOT is they didn't want people sitting next to travel. So, but the city can they're building platforms to go out that the walkway will go there, and then the sidewalk will be the seating. So
right.
the walking will work, not the tables.
They'll be walking in the parking lane.
I walked out of here yesterday, and the city was building in front of the little restaurant where it used to be the Office Tavern.
Yeah.
And they had the ramp all set up and set in place and everything. And I said, well, this is really cool. He said, yeah, we're building, and the city of Grand Theft was doing it. And they were building these ramps to get up onto the sidewalk for that restaurant. And I said, and they were kind of packed, and they were doing this, that. And I said, well, this is pretty cool. He goes, yeah, we got to move it. I said, you got to move it. Why? He said, we're going to go down to the next one that requested it. These people requested, and then when they saw how long it was going to take, and that it was going to take the parking place in front of the restaurant, and so on and so forth, they said, no.
What did they think it was going to be?
I don't know what they thought.
Didn't
but,
have a map.
But they said, you know what? Well, you know, we don't want that. Move it down. So they're going to pack all that stuff up. It's already made. And it fits all the curbs along 6th Street, so they're just going to move it down. But I thought that was kind of interesting. The same thing came to my mind is that, you know, if you want the sidewalk, and then what...
I'm glad that's a city issue, not a county issue.
I would connect the dots, and you would connect the dots, but obviously somebody didn't connect the dots. So it was just an interesting see the difference in what's going on.
I am curious about that property over there, though, and I think it's worth somebody having a conversation.
Dave True from River Valley would know about that.
Well, there's a sign with a phone number.
Oh, you could use that number as well.
And it's probably him, but I mean, it's one of those things that I think that if city and county are counting on that as a something
overflow.
we need to have a discussion.
Sure.
Yeah.
Anything else
I think
to share?
I think Scott made a real good point too that through the MPO, we need to kind of start keeping our eyes out. If that MPO money is available to us here, we don't want to lose that because we don't have a project.
Yeah.
One of the things that one of our projects that we were going to do. Was pave the parking lot out at the fairgrounds because that qualified for CMAC funds and would have been a pretty good sized chunk out of it. But then TMB Racing decided they would do that in conjunction with their development, which is fine. But that also freed that money up to go somewhere else to a sidewalk project or something. So let's get creative as to other, you know, and start thinking, looking around for a potential project for CMAC money. And that's air quality and congestion mitigation. Air quality meaning you see a gravel parking lot that people are using, you can pay that, you know, because it's dust control. We just got our thing. I got an email. I think we all got it that the Middle Rogue MPO has met its requirement for 2045. A clean air emissions requirement all the way up to 2045. Now, how you do that, I don't know. It's ironic that we just happen to be the youngest.
We're that far under the line.
And we are so far under radar that it's that.
Yeah.
But when you go...
Even moved the goalpost once and we're still under it that much.
Yeah. And we're still... We went to 2025 right off the bat. Now we're up to 2045. But that's very important because that's your emissions for your automobiles that if you have a car like mine, excuse me. If you have a
that's vehicle, it. You're right. There's three.
That's
ding,
it.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding. But it is important. And I think that's a big step. We'll have a conversation at some point in time in the future because I got an idea about that.
Okay.
That we may be able to, as a county, we may be able to capitalize on our clean air. That's something I've been working on for.
I'm not going to cap and trade it, are you?
Four or five.
You're something like that.
Getting pretty darn close. Okay.
I know, right?
I've been thinking about that for an awful long time. We'll talk about it.
All right.
Okay.
Well, I went and hiked the Pike Fork logging area that Josephine County owns, a proposed logging area with
Botanical Garden.
Two or three folks. Three to be exact, from Williams. One was the water master, so he was a good resource as well. A guy named Chaz. And we drove some of it, we hiked some of it. I've heard this phrase, I hope I'm using it correctly, but it's steeper than a cow's face out there.
It is.
It really is.
I look down, so I'm not running jokers down there.
Well, and I was thinking as we're walking along, if one of us fell off, you couldn't just walk back up. You'd be on all fours, hoping you had a rope. slipping through the duff.
You're looking at the treetops from here to across the hall.
You are.
Out the bottom of the canyon.
And it's very, very, very cool botanical area. That it's actually the furthest east that the Port Orford cedar comes is in that Pipe Fork area. And there's BLM set aside, 100 acres, I think, that has that Port Orford cedar in it. And there's quite a bit of that Port Orford cedar in the Pipe Fork proposed logging because it grows down next to that creek. And so it was educational to put some eyes on it, to talk to folks about it. We drove around and hiked for 4 hours checking it out, and we're going to set up another one for a different area to look at. But it is it's a perfect property for some environmental group, national and or regional, to come in and preserve and buy it themselves. I think it's very ripe for that, and so I encourage them to pursue that. I know Commissioner DeYoung and our director Dave Streeter for Forestry and Resources is going to have a public forum out there on 17th or something. I'm not sure the date.
We're going to do it outside. We're going to set up
for social distancing
in the park so we can get as many people there as possible without being in the grange or whatever.
And have that discussion.
And basically what it amounts to is that we're going to lay out what all the options are for the people out in Williams. Mm-hmm. You know, how we acquired property, what we have to do with it, how it has to go to auction, and so on and so forth. So it's going to be, Dave Streeter is going to go with me and be very informative when we do that.
I also went to the Williams Town Council meeting on Tuesday. Been a while since they had met and since I've been able to get out there with them. And they were talking about this Pipe Fork as well as another logging area on Panther Gulch. They were marking the passing of Daryl Jackson.
What?
Who passed away 3 or 4 weeks ago, I think.
Serious?
And I know we didn't get informed, which I was kind of bummed about. He was an activist out there that got citizen groups convening and was the roadside spray head for a long time and went out himself and weed-eated and took down weeds on the side of the road and got others to do it. So he was quite an inspiration. And he will be sorely missed. Got some big shoes to fill. He was not a small guy either. He was very tall. So his shoes were literally big. But it was pretty sad when I heard about it because I hadn't really heard about it. And so I just want to acknowledge that he was a great community member that was always trying to do the right thing and getting other people to do the right thing as well. So good for him.
He's a good referee.
Hopefully someone will pick up that mantle because he was a good guy. Good for leadership out there. So, anyway, that's my report. Although I'm also looking forward to the 4th of July, because our country and some of these coastal states have really kind of started a verbal war and assault on police officers. I like that you're trying to do something on the other end, and I'm trying to stick it in conversations. Let's keep law enforcement. The people who do support it, let's keep talking about it, because the idea of taking $1 billion out of New York City's police fund is just shocking to me.
It won't take long to see the fruits
to see the effect of that. Yes.
And
they're taking people to jail and turning them right back out. There no bail releases have been going on for a month or two. This is not the direction of keeping the public safe. And so we want to make sure our citizens know, I want to ensure them that we back our sheriffs 100%. We want to give them the tools to do their job, and I think they're very well respected throughout our county and our region, except by those who are breaking the law. And so I want to thank them for getting up every day, and my concern is, of course, those 17 through 21 year olds that were thinking about going into law enforcement now are having a little bit of a check. Like, do I really want to put myself out there? And so I think they're going to have recruiting troubles. And then I think some of the big city police are going to go, what am I doing? I need to move to a smaller community where they respect the police and I can go talk to kids at the school and still get the bad guys. And so we may see some high quality police officers make that exodus from some of those cities, because I don't know why they'd stay unless their family ties and their heart is in it. I think they're going to move to a spot where people respect them. So that may help us in recruitment eventually.
Well, the city of talent is losing officers left and right, including, I want to say, their chief may have...
The city council has taken a bit of a turn over there in talent.
Yeah. Trying to be like the Ashland.
A little bit.
More so.
Yeah, trying to outdo them.
They've outdone. But I have a couple topics I need to bring up for you guys, too.
Sure.
I apologize.
I have one more people. Go ahead.
Go ahead, after you.
You're first.
So yesterday on our Evergreen notification, my phone didn't allow the call to come through. It was blocked as potential spam.
Oh.
And it was a 541-000-000 number. So I got the voicemail, but I did not actually get the call. And so
I got the call online, so.
But my phone has a program on it for detecting potential spam.
I didn't want to look at it because it's United States. It said United States and 541-000-000.
Yeah.
And I thought, I know who this is. This is John McCaffrey. That's got John McCaffrey written all over it. I'm not answering that.
We did announce when we were doing the weekly community meetings for the fires in the 2018 season, we announced that the citizen alert phone numbers would come from a phone number like this or something else. But in 2018, I didn't have a spam blocker on my phone, and I do now. And so I will be following up with emergency management about that impact, because it means
that
people are not...
potential fraud.
Yeah.
Same
so, one. And it did not... I mean, it was kind of one of those things that... I just want to make sure that we're not missing notifications in an emergency that mm-hmm. need to get through because of that. So
if we're going to depend on it, we better get it right.
Yep, and it's not anything that we've done. I think it's technology upgrades that have now got to the point that they're like, we may need to find a way to have a dedicated phone number or something to make sure that it can get through. Additionally, related to what you're talking about in Williams, Tequila has a town council as well that is elected. It operates somewhat like a homeowners association, as far as if you live in Tequila in past Four Corners, you're kind of part of this group that votes and does stuff. They own property. They levy funds.
They manage the Dome School property, I think.
They have a whole meadow. Mm-hmm. There's acres of properties they own.
I've been to one of their meetings.
So I was contacted by one of the citizens recently, because the road is in total disrepair. There's not even an edge. It comes way in. I got lots of photos to show how poorly the road is. Recently letters went out to people about spray. And I learned that at least from the citizen's perspective, our spray program is if you opt in and say, I will maintain the ditch for the sake of I don't want you spraying harmful chemicals, no maintenance is done. And they said that's why half of our street hasn't opted in, because we're still paying taxpayer dollars to be a gas tax. We want the road still maintained. We want all those other services you get on other roads. We just don't want spray. So what else can be done? What else are the requirements for us? Some have opted in. Some have not. But they really want to have a conversation with us about what can be done, what should be done, what expectations, what's the checklist, all those kinds of things. The only thing they're asking Public Works not to do is spray the chemicals.
But if we don't spray the chemicals, it requires mowing the ditch.
Yep.
Three or four times a year.
Yep.
And that's not an option either, because that's not cheap to do.
Well, it is an option, and they want to know how much it costs, or right. What do they do to do it, or there's other things there.
They don't want just their area.
And this is supposed to be just the spray in the ditches, but it turns into no maintenance, no other stuff going on in those areas is the citizens' concern. So I think it would be worthwhile to continue the conversation. Where we left it off was, do we levy funds in a community to pay for that service if they want? Well, this is the community saying, what would it cost? But they are an elected town council similar to what Williams is, and so it made me wonder... did we even realize they've been there for 30 years? And they're operating in that function, and do we, they want to have a conversation. So how do we
do that? I think that's a good ask. But let's get Brandis in here and say, okay, is there any, is it black and white, or is there a gray area that, as the people say, we just don't want you to spray, but will you come in once a year and mow the ditches and everything like you normally do, or is spray the only option? And I think that's what Brandon's going to say. We either spray and take care of it, or we to take care of it, or we don't spray and don't take care of it.
Well, and I recently went out and drove the road with a citizen at the request of, look at this road, look at the speeds, look at, and it is curious, on the straightaway, it's one speed, and then you get to the curves, they raise it 10 miles an hour. And I was like, this doesn't make sense of why it switches right there. And
I got the same tour.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But walking down to the river, walk, you know, and looking at all that, they are right on the runoff to the river. It does bring up the question of how quickly would this spray get into the waterway?
And we have a policy of stopping back from a waterway, like, is that a riparian area? Mm-hmm. And you can't spray in a riparian area.
Well, so I think it's a good question to ask, Robin. He did some of the preliminary work when we asked for the ballot measure consideration.
Sure. And and one of the things that's curious is recently posts went in, red and green posts along the road of start spray, stop spray, start spray, stop spray.
Uh-huh.
So that's got the citizens very riled up that clearly we're marking we're going to come start spraying. And when I asked, it wasn't known who even did it. But an employee said, oh, yeah, this is so we can spray. But there's not a plan to spray. So I think we need to have the ability to have a better communication with that community, since they have an organized community, mm-hmm. To better understand what exactly they're asking, to see if there's a solution we can come up with. And I didn't know, is it Commissioner DeYoung because of liaison to Public Works? Is it you because it's a town council and you're the liaison to the other town council?
I think it's the full board. As a full board, we're asking you. We're looking into this as a
team. Yeah.
I think that would carry more teeth with and Mr. Brandis and everybody else. Is, you know, this has gone beyond the liaison thing. The board wants to know.
That's fair. And I think that they are just, you know, you want consistency in policy and how you implement. But I'm not saying it as a criticism, just as an opportunity for us to see, is there something we can look at to see if there's a way we can accommodate and listen?
Well, I've been using that. I've been using the language that, you know, with my department says, yeah, I know you can. You know, the law says you can, but is this something you should do? You know, that's what we need to look. The next question is, yeah, I can.
Lawful, because, but awful.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I know you can. I know you've got the ability to do that. You have the authority to do that. But is this something you really should do? And I think that's, we'll get with that.
Well, and I could dovetail into this. Because I used to get invites to that town council meeting, which I think was quarterly. And so I'll talk to Kate Dwyer and see if I can get back on that list, because I'll attend. But that's not the end of it. Also, I've been talking with Brian Hawkins and others in Maryland area, and they want to form a town council. And I think the idea has merit, at least to look into it. Some will have a fear that they're trying to incorporate a city. And so that'll be the first thing we say is, no, we're not trying to incorporate a city. We're trying to get a group of people we could talk back and forth with the county commissioners and have a forum for that conversation. And so Brian Hawkins and I have agreed to try and work on that and see what it takes to get there. Because I think that's a good thing. I noticed, like, when we go to, like, Wolf Creek that doesn't have any kind of town council, we still get 25 people show up at those meetings that are interested in what's going on in their community. And so even a community that doesn't have a town council.
Well, yeah, the North Valley Homeowner Association, 100 and something on strong, you know.
There's
nothing wrong with them having their
neighborhood watch,
having their organization that they can go to as a stepping stone. Mm-hmm. And then that stepping stone really has a place at the table with the commissioner, right? That's a good idea.
All right, anything else to discuss, commissioners? Yes, Commissioner Dia.
Spencer, I'm going up to Spencer Creek meeting with BLM up there. That has gotten to be, that Evan has been, I went out there a year ago, and we were going to do it, put some signs up, and because people go up into Evans or Spencer Creek, and they shooting over houses, shooting up trees. It's just a virtual garbage dump. And we talked about putting a gate up there, and the people, well, no, we really don't want a gate up there because of this and that. Like, well, I think the residents up there are now almost saying, hey, we want to gate it, we want to shut it off, we want to lock it, because, you know, we've tried to put the signage up and everything else to try to discourage some of the behavior up there. He caught some people with a whole truckload of car tires rolling them off the side of the road, just throwing them out of the pickup and rolling down there. And another guy up had two great big logging truck tires, earth mover tires, and he said they get a big kick out of rolling them down through and watching them crash through the trees and stuff. It's because that's fun. Well, you know, and he says, I don't know what to do about that. And I thought to myself, and I'm going to look into it because it may be something that we want to establish for all tires. Tires seem to be a real tough thing to get rid of. And you've got to pay $5 at the landfill to get rid of them, $10 if they're on a rim, so on and so forth. And I say, but there's no documentation as where the tire came from. And maybe there's a possibility of Les Schwab and Oregon Tire and all the tire retailers, whether it be Walmart or whatever, anybody takes in old tires that to be destroyed, that they have a brand, that they have a number that is assigned to their facility, and it's on a hot knife thing, and you just burn it into the side of the tire where that tire was taken back in for recycling. And then if it ends up down across in the bank down below there, you can pull that tire out of this whole pile, and you find there's a whole bunch of tires from, say, Acme Tire and Rubber Company, and you find that you go to Acme Tire and Rubber and say, you know, how did you process these tires? Because they ended up out in Spencer Creek, and now it's going to be your responsibility to pick it up. It's just like very similar to finding an envelope in trash and saying, this was found on a bunch of garbage on Spencer Creek. If I had it in my dumpster out at the shop, and it ended up being a pizza delivery box. So I delivered everything back to that address and set it on their front yard. They didn't like that. But I think if we could track that, and that might be something the legislature, when you get up there.
It can be done locally.
Well, I'm thinking of it, Oregon, seeing how we're really environmentally.
Mm-hmm.
I think that if we could get buy-in through the whole state to say, we're going to issue a brand, a number for your facility, and when you take a tire and you burn that right in the side of it so that we can follow that tire until it's absolutely matched up and dispose of properly and turned into roadbed material, whatever they do with old rubber tires. But I think it would just add a level of accountability to a place like, well, I'll use it for a acquaintance of mine. He said, well, if you got old tires, just give them to me. I'll see if we get rid of them. I got some guys that you don't need to spend $5 a tire at the landfill. You know, they'll do it for two. So I just funnel all my tires through them. Well, is that the guy in the Toyota pickup full of tires that went up Spencer Creek and dumped them off, and he just going around to different places saying, yeah, I'll take all your old tires. I don't care if they got a rim on them or not. I'll do it for $3 a tire instead of 5 and 10. And then he just goes and dumps them off. Well, if you put 20 tires in the back end of a truck at $3 a tire, you know, hey, you're doing pretty good. That's beer money. So I think, you know, I'll try to put it in some sort of form of writing.
Yeah.
I thought about it yesterday. But I think that's something the legislature might want to listen to.
I think that locally, Deputy Stanton had brought to me the Jackson County ordinance a year or two ago, as far as theirs has the ability that if there's mail found in a trash pile, you mm-hmm. can go back and...
Right.
So their ordinance... it didn't go anywhere at the time, but I know that recently we had that come back that we want to deal with this stuff. So it may be that if there's a portion in an ordinance, we can address with the tires and such as well. If somebody's caught in the act of dumping, obviously it's,
right.
you know. But
we put the responsibility of the tire back onto the tire because he's the one that's collecting. I know it used to be you collected like $5 a tire. When I got tires, they said, yeah, what are you doing? We'll take care of your tires, but we put $5 a piece because we have to recycle them. And then I want them to make sure that there's some accountability that goes along with making that statement. And if you're responsible for getting rid of the tires, let's make sure you do it responsibly. through a place or whatever. I think we just need a tracking method, if you will. They track, a lot of things. Cars, excuse me, with a VIN number. But I think it's just, something to look into. I just kicking it around yesterday that maybe that might be. I'm meeting with the people at Spencer Creek in July, BLM. I'm also getting a map and overlay because we have some county property up in there. I want to see how that corners in on a couple of those areas up there. See, we'll get all the jurisdictions. BLM, I think the county has some, and I think Oregon Department of Forestry has some. So we'll get those people up there, but we may end up there may be no other recourse than to lock that off. I'm not a gate person, but you know, darn it, the reason the gates are there is for a reason. And I think the people that live up on Spencer Creek and Murphy Creek Road have been very, very patient. And they've been, it's pretty hard for Evan to walk into a bunch of guys that are drinking beer and shooting AK-47s and AR-15s just plinking around on the weekend, and I've done that many times. But they're not cleaning their mess up, number one. They're shooting over houses, number two. Pyrotechnics, they're doing all kinds of stuff. That, because they're just drinking beer, having a good time, burning pallets in the middle of the road with a big bonfire, and then when the pallets are gone, the nails are still there, right in the middle of the road. So there's just an awful lot of stuff going on. Up Spencer Creek, for some reason, seems to be really popular. So we're going to look at that and try to get numerous parties involved with the solution. And I don't know what that solution is going to be, because there's a hell of a mess up there. And it's not getting any better. It's gotten worse this last year.
Well, that's one thing I noticed in my trip to the Pipe Fork. There is a gate at the last house. Mm-hmm. And once you get beyond the gate, there is no trash. Yep. There's no shotgun shells. There's no burned up cars.
Yep.
None of that.
There's
you
hardly
find any. I was like, that's impressive.
There's hardly a corner you can make and a drainage you can go by that there's at least one car spot.
God.
That's been a spot for people steal a car, take whatever they want off, and they go up the front. I had a trailer show up across the street from my house this morning, and it's just going to be left there. They just parked it, dropped it off, and drove away at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And so our neighbor is going to have to deal with it.
I am in communication with BLM as well as some of the issues we've been having with lack of maintenance and vehicle abandonment and frustrations we've been having. And part of it is in relation to just following up the BLM swap and trying to see that through. Some of the properties are on that list, and it's kind of like, okay.
Where's the jurisdiction? Yeah.
Well, not just the jurisdiction, but there's some properties they have stated they want to manage, but they're not maintaining their portions there right now. Right. So
giving them more might not be an improvement.
But we're negotiating with Senator Wyden's office as well, and I had a conversation with Cy Jameson yesterday about next steps, just some of the politics that are getting played over the project.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Anything else we should discuss today?
Thank you.
All right. Then let's end this meeting at 10:23.